All right, so if we manage to work out a license payment by the time the show airs, which I think will be this coming Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, then people will have heard that, which is called Peace by We the Kingdom, which is a good group. And the reason I wanted to play that, and you can, if we don't get it up on the live stream, you guys can go listen to it, but the reason that I wanted to play that is the point is something beyond the intellectual reasoning, and we can debate and discuss stuff and, you know, explain for a long time. And if there's no feeling of compassion or spirit or appreciation for value of life or who we are, then there's a lot missing from those explanations, no matter how good they are. So we're trying to blend the two together, if that can be done, and without just saying, well, okay, if you hear the song, there's really nothing more to say. But we have to say some more things, because there's some things going on in the world right now, in case you probably noticed if you looked around. And we have a great guest on today, Dr. Carrie Madde, who has been on Alex's show more than once, and I've really enjoyed seeing her there, and an example of courage and honesty and compassion and motivation to do something good, you know, not just say, here's all the terrible things that are going on, because that gets done a lot with, and that then there's nothing to follow that, you know, but the idea is, okay, here's the things that are going on. The only reason to know about all this junk is to try to fix it, to succeed at fixing it. And that's why we try to add all the five doctors and great people from all over the world as guests to provide the inspiration combined with the knowledge that I think is an essential combination. And Carrie's really busy, Dr. Madde, and I appreciate her being here. So thank you very much for taking the time.
Thanks, Richard, for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So we have a short time, and I want to cover, you know, the general idea is not just for people that already know everything that's happening, because they could say, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I already knew all that. I'd like to also cater to the people who have no idea and realize that from their point of view, listening to mainstream media, there's this pandemic going on. You know, it's called COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, if they're that technical. And it means that you're a danger if you're breathing freely, if you don't have a mask on, and it's probably going to get you anyway, but you should wear a mask because it shows you really care about the other person, because your mask protects them and their mask protects you. And especially you should get the shot, because they've been selflessly working day and night to get the shot ready to save the world, except now that they're saving the world with the shot, you still have to wear the mask and the shot's not working against the latest version of the virus. And so it looks like you're going to need a shot, I don't know, every month, something like that, because there's all these variants that are terrifying the world. And, you know, we're talking from the point of view of the people that are getting all their information from mainstream media, which is a lot of people. And how would you present what, you know, for them is really going on, and still be somewhat intelligible? You know, we can talk to the people who understand, right? But what about the other ones who need it more? What do we start by saying?
Well, I start by telling them that from the very beginning of this crisis, there has been lie after lie after lie. There's been a web of lies, and this whole pandemic was born from lies. Let me just go back and give some examples. So the first one is that we were told there is a novel or new virus infecting everybody. Right. That's a lie. Since 2002, there have been patents on the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So that means, a patent means that it has to be created, man-made. So that means since 2002, this virus, they claim that is just brand new, that just popped up. Well, we've known about it since 2002. It's been made, okay, created. So this farce has gone on to this day. Around the world, they've been telling the story. That should make everybody stop and pause and ask, what is going on? because they're lying to everybody. And then the vaccine, this kind of new vaccine, it's not really a vaccine, it's a gene modification injection. They've had patents on that for this kind for at least 10 years. So they're lying again on that. As far as how many cases of this so-called virus that are going around, there's so much evidence to prove that they are trying to purposely inflate the numbers through many methods. Some are the many labs across the world have been caught putting 100% of all the tests are positive when they recheck everything and they go in there, maybe only 10% at best. This is hundreds and hundreds of labs just within the United States alone. Contaminated lab kits going out from the CDC, they're all positive. More than once, this has gone up in the CDC, calling everything COVID, even if it's a motorcycle crash or it was a simple, you know, it was a heart attack, et cetera. And going back to, per the CDC's own admission, only 6% of all the deaths that they scared everybody with, made lockdowns, made this emergency act, were actually from COVID. They quietly said that. Did that make the major news? No. We know that the testing, how they're doing the PCR test, well, that's not really supposed to be for diagnosis, but let's say, okay, we're going to use it. We know we're not supposed to use it by cycling or amplifying that test more than 28 times. That is a well-known fact around the world with every lab. But here we go, we have 35, 40 times amplifying it. That will ensure many of the tests will become false positive. Again, upping the numbers. So you have definite proof that we are trying to make more cases purposely to scare the people, lying about the virus that it's new when it's not new, lying about the vaccine that we didn't ever know about a vaccine like this one we have, because they don't want you to know that that vaccine 10 years ago killed all the animals in the trials. It was terrible. It didn't do well. They don't want you to know that the scientists in those studies said we should really take a pause and not do anything and do a lot of research before we introduce this to the human population. So, you know, that's just a start of the web of lies that we're experiencing right now, and how through this web of lies, we are now in emergency acts around the world, ongoing still. In the United States, at least 3 emergency acts were signed in, and that FEMA runs our country. And doing so, our human rights have been taken away, our constitutional rights and our Bill of Rights. So no matter what you think about the vaccine, no matter what you think about the virus, that's your business, because we should still have the ability to think freely, have creative thought, have the ability to choose what happens to our bodies, our autonomy, our freedom to choose on our body. So if you want to believe in doing the mask and you want to isolate and you want to take the shot, that's your business. But for me, I do not want that. I want to protect my human rights. And so let me have my human rights. And for those that are weaker and more fragile, we need to protect them. And we need to uphold the Hippocratic Oath. And we're not doing that either. So we're actually facing what happens to our world, to humanity as we know ourselves. It is in grave danger on many levels. And so this is why we have to start thinking critically and speaking up for ourselves, because something is really rotten going on around the world. And it is not in our health and wellness and benefit at all. And this is the time to speak up. This is the time to know if you're hot or cold. There is no lukewarm right now. So that's...
Can I ask you a question about one of the things you said? It struck me many times that, well, you know, people have a hard time believing that there could be this scale of cooperation worldwide with a lie, you know, and not all this bickering about whether to tell it or not. That's coordinated. But what's a deeper issue is how these numbers are created that you were talking about. And when you look at the so-called PCR test, the inventor of it said it wasn't a diagnostic test at all. And so what I'm wondering is, isn't it true that there are two ways to diagnose so-called COVID-19, which is the disease name. One is laboratory using PCR, because I think they're all using PCR. And the other is clinically. Clinically, there are some people that can't get oxygen even though their lung function is fine. And they're easily cured by things that are suppressed. You know, quite a few different protocols that can get rid of that. But most of the cases are diagnosed in a lab. And if they're using PCR, which you can turn down to give negative and turn up to give positive, isn't it actually true, as weird as it sounds, that the number of total laboratory diagnosed cases of COVID is zero?
I don't have all the data on that because it's they're looking just for a small piece of genetic material, not the entire organism. People need to understand
exactly.
That, not the entire genome. So technically, it is not the gold. It should not be the gold standard. It is not telling you 100% if you have it or not. Absolutely, that is the truth because you're only getting one little tiny piece of it. It's like looking for one word in a whole novel of a book.
And say it must be the novel because we found the word that was in it. Right?
Exactly. We found the word cat in this thick volume of this one book. So therefore, right. It must be, you know, this particular book. Now it could be right. A million different books, right? And that's right. The problem that we have. And that's what the variants come in because they're doing the same thing. They're just looking at another little piece that could come from almost anything. If you amplify something enough, you will always find that
right. And actually, Kary Mullis, the inventor of PCR, specifically, it was quoted as saying, you can find anything in anybody.
So, yeah, in college, I took genetics, and we did our own PCR tests, or relatively easy. And we were always taught that the only purpose for the PCR test was to find genetic material. So you were just trying to find something, and it was usually so tiny, or you had a sample, it was so tiny, you were just amplifying it, making it more voluminous so that you could find it. And it wasn't supposed to be for diagnosis. We were always taught that. And so when we started using it for the testing, that was surprising. And then when we started to lock healthy people inside their homes, I've never heard that. That's tyranny. Then we had this weird 6-foot rule. Never in medicine science did I ever see that. Where did that come from?
Then actually a 666 rule, because there's three directions, right?
Exactly. There's definitely symbolism in everything, including the masks and the 6-foot rule on the lockdowns. These are all symbolic things. And even Fauci says they're symbolic when he really was questioned about the mask. He says, oh, yeah, they don't work, but they're symbolic.
So if nobody has a gold standard, that means they don't have a sample of the isolated virus. And apparently CDC said they don't have any.
Yeah, that was important.
And nobody else does either.
To make that's the point I try to make in every interview is to tell people that by the Freedom of Information Act, not one country, not one scientific agency, including the CDC, has the actual virus on file for anyone at all. It does not exist. So that's the other biggest lie. There is no virus that anybody has. They only have a genetic code that was created. They admit it in all the Freedom of Information Acts. They say it's recombinant, meaning pieced together with gene synthesis, meaning it's a synthetic gene sequence, which an AI program, artificial intelligence, created.
So if you translate this into regular language, they patented something they made up.
Yes, and that's proof. So they have the patent for this gene code, and that means it's synthetic, made up, and they admit it in all the Freedom of Information Acts that an artificial intelligence program took pieces of genetic material from infected lung fluid of one person, and missing blanks was filled in by this synthetic gene synthesis by the AI program. And the scientists looked at what this AI program did and said, yeah, that looks like what's making people sick. So that's what they're injecting in people. We don't have any virus isolated from a person that was sick that we can prove that made that person sick, not to this day. So how can they make any sort of vaccine for that? They're making it off of something synthetic, not from nature, not proven that is making anybody sick at this point. This goes against all scientific reason and deduction and methodology. But of course, you know, the common person doesn't realize that unless they took and they were in the science field. And unfortunately, our current medical paradigm right now, they don't teach that anymore. They don't teach critical thinking. They don't teach how to read a research paper, nor about the ins and outs and intricacies of how to do a scientific research. So
it seems like what they teach is memorization.
It's just algorithms and protocols now. Yes, it's not about critical thinking whatsoever.
Things like safe and effective.
Exactly. We're using a lot of psychological warfare tactics and, you know, the keywords, the mockingbird. You're seeing all of this done worldwide to get people just to believe something. And it started with the schools educating the children differently with the new math. They don't really understand statistics.
It's not the answer. It's how you really feel about it, right, that matters.
Exactly. And also how you can't hurt anyone's feeling. You can't make them scared.
Exactly. And most numbers actually are offensive. So
yeah, they are racist numbers too. So
yeah. So I think what we're saying here, and I'm saying it with you, I'm not disagreeing at all. This is made up.
Every part of the way is made up, and every part of the way the data does not match what they are telling people to do. But unless you sit there and you spend, like I have and some of my colleagues, we spend hours every day dedicated to finding these things, and everything we find supports that it is a lie and is not justified.
Yeah.
We're up against major media that is telling the opposite.
It's not the fault of the average person who doesn't have time to do that. You know, they're busy with their job and with their friends and their family and their other obligations, and they assume that they can just look to the media, and certainly like the CDC and the so-called health agencies and things like that, to just tell them the absolute truth.
Exactly. And so, people argue, well, people are getting sick. What is that? I'm like, I'm not arguing that people aren't getting sick, but you're looking at the wrong cause.
We had some doctors on who were specializing in death certificates, and they said that the CDC sent out memos, some of which we saw, that said, look, if you think there's any possibility that this could look like COVID-19, which means, you know, very wide spectrum of indicators, just put that on the death certificate. Nobody's going to check. And they literally put that down on a memo. Well,
I can tell you, even before all this, when I had a large practice here in Georgia, I would get phone calls, sometimes even a personal visit from people from public health department and other state agencies, trying to coerce me into putting different diagnoses down, either on death certificates or diagnosis, the discharge diagnosis.
Right.
And getting angry with me when I wouldn't comply because it wasn't right. They're just like, this is what we need for whatever purpose they had. They have always done that.
So you were in Georgia, in, I guess, a city environment somewhere, right? And you had these people approaching you, these officials, trying to bully you into lying on a death certificate. And you weren't the only one that was happening to. This was going on certainly all over the country, probably all over most Western countries, Australia, New Zealand, England, France, most of Europe, other places. Now we know it's going on in Africa. People who are just hearing this and say, wait a minute, this is my whole structure that gives my world stability to believe in all these authority figures. How could they get that degree of coordination to all be carrying out this program?
Because it all trickles down from the top. You know, if you don't do what your superior wants you to do, that superior gets in trouble and goes on and up to the very top. And this is not new. Like I said, this has been going on since, you know, the beginning of when I was even in residency, since 2001, where there was coercion going on about what to put on diagnosis codes and for discharge summaries and things like that.
Right.
Money. Or for sometimes they don't want people to know there's this many tick illnesses out there, so don't put it down there. Let's pretend like it didn't happen. And so this is not new. This has been going on for a long time. So doctors are used to being not having freedom of speech. They're used to having to answer to other people because of money. And this has been already indoctrinated into the medical society. This is not new.
So the control structure was already there and already working.
Absolutely.
100%. It was just given something new to work on.
Yes.
A new project.
Yes. Our freedom of speech in the United States medicine is long gone.
Right.
A long time ago.
Especially for people with credentials.
and you don't work. You can get blackballed from the whole industry.
Well, we had, you know, there were doctors in the last several years in the U.S. that dared to talk about vaccines before the pandemic, and more than 200 of them were killed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was beyond losing licenses.
That started in my state, and I moved out of the country for 5 years the week that Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet was murdered.
That was the first one in the group that I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was warned too, and I was fortunate that I got out when it first started.
So it really looks like, if you boil all this down, and I realize that people may take some time to absorb any of this idea if they're not already familiar with it, that the country and a lot of the world right now, and I don't mean any, you know, insult to the real mafias that exist in various cities in the world, but it looks like it's run by a network of mafias. And the reason I'm saying that's kind of an insult to the mafia is they at least have some code of ethics, right? Don't kill women on this day of the week or whatever it is.
Yeah, you're correct about that one.
Right, but it looks like that's the network that's in control. And somehow the power positions have been infiltrated by people of that type.
Yes, and you know, when I first realized this about the world, because I didn't know this my whole life, I first realized it with the Codex Alimentarius, which is an international trade agreement that was the foundation of everything that's happening right now. And in this one world food, one world medicine, one world, you know, all vitamins and minerals are now reclassified as poisons and toxins that have to be modified.
And there are upper limits to all that stuff.
Too. Everything in the world is it has to be genetically modified by a certain date.
Yeah.
Even humans.
Yeah. Yeah, even humans. I was going to say not just crop seeds and stuff like that.
And then they did say in this Codex Alimentarius, within 10 years of the full implementation, which they never said what that was, the World Health Organization did estimates based on how many deaths would happen due to the Codex Alimentarius, meaning the point of it was to exterminate many people from the planet.
Right.
I had to reread it over and over, and it was the most shocking, horrifying thing. But this is not what you ever thought about your world. And then I realized there were other agendas that were backing this up, you know, Agenda 21, Agenda 30, et cetera, that these are world leaders that meet and talk about this. This is not new. It's just become more organized as time goes on.
Exactly. And they write, I think because they feel that they have to, but they write what they're going to do. And they don't just write it in their papers. They put it into predictive programming in entertainment and media references and things like that. Remember the movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman? Vaccine saved the world. And, you know, one of the stars I remember was holding a pocket constitution and said, I really hate to do this to everybody, you know. It's too bad to have to exterminate this town, but I mean, it's for the greater good and everything. And the audience was cheering. And
Yeah, I know. I believe that there are some rules to this, you call it a game that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
They do have to tell you what they're doing. And because they need our consent on some level.
Yeah, exactly. Have you heard of a lady named Dr. Rima Labo?
No.
She's the widow of General Stubblebine, who died a few years ago, basically killed in a hospital by the staff. But she and her husband before that they have this organization called Natural Solutions Foundation. And for several years, they were in Europe attending the Codex Alimentarius meetings and reporting. They're very unwelcome after a while, obviously, but they were reporting to the world what was going on. And as you're saying, if one of the goals of that organization was to make sure of a certain amount of genetic engineering, including people, by a certain time, you could see the pandemic as dovetailing into that beautifully, because the shots accomplish that, right?
Yes, that is the plan. And, you know, like I said, I learned about this from other meetings that I attended as well, on a more personal level. So that just reinforced that, yes, people are serious about these plans, and they're going forward with it. Now, just because they have a plan, just because they want to do it in a certain way, does not mean that that's what is going to happen.
Right, because, exactly.
You know, these plans are always executed based on looking at us as just a biological blob of cells. We are just mm-hmm. physical. Right. And they always forget, these people making these plans, that we are spiritual beings, which is very powerful. Our minds and our spirits are way more powerful than our physical being. And that's what some people in medicine say, the placebo effect, where you can make something happen to yourself just by thinking it, willing it, right?
It's just think if you could fully develop that at will, that would be something big.
And we've always, you know, blown it away and not focused on it. We didn't want to focus on it because, you know, I remember medicine, it was scared my attendings to think about it, you know?
It's
scared them to think that really we can have that much control and power, you know, over ourselves, which we do. They're scared because what are they even going to do for a living? Sometimes they would say.
Yeah, you're getting into quantum physics areas.
Yeah.
And the experimenter affects the experiment.
And also the prayer, how prayer was definitely proven to work. And then they made some sham, like, studies later to try to disprove it, but we definitely have data on that. You know, just healing by distance or instantaneously being able to affect something around the world, whether it's another person or a plant, or we have many, many studies, but they're not commonly taught. These research is not commonly taught at all.
Exactly. And basically you're talking about the power of belief, but it's not a belief that you just memorize something, I believe this, this, and this. It's gut level belief where you really experience it. And if you think something on that level is important. Yeah, exactly. It's not just what you've decided you're going to believe no matter what. But if you're experiencing it, then, and you believe, for example, that distance is not necessarily as real as we're supposed to believe, then it stops being a barrier, as other things do, right?
Exactly.
And there's a lot of things that are being hidden from us by the top level leaders of this whole program against us, because they know that's their weak spot. And it seems out of all the secrets, the biggest one I've seen is about who we are, where we came from.
And the denial of God, you know, spirituality and God, definitely in my training, it was frowned upon, and I was made fun of if they heard I was praying or something like that, or if I mentioned God, it may not
be say, Dr. Mehta, you're not being scientific enough, right?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
What study are you quoting right now?
Definitely, you know, so that was shunned and you were ridiculed. But it's very powerful. So, you know, for instance, how many people, when in the hospital, we did a lot of codes, people dying, you go in and you're the team that resuscitates them. And
these
people, they didn't know me from before because I wasn't their doctor, would survive. And they would tell me, like, I have to tell you about their near-death experience and what they saw. They saw all these things, they saw us, and they had all different kinds of experiences. But that was not allowed. They weren't allowed to talk about that. The patients, either in the hospital, they would tell them to be quiet, or they would give them an antipsychotic or sedative if they told them. You know, see how they just kind of beat it out of us to even talk about things like this.
You're thinking of a particular scene at the moment, right, that you're referring to?
Yeah, many times the patients told me, I know I can tell you what happened, but if I tell anybody else, they told me they were going to give me drugs, and that they did. They would give them drugs.
Okay, so they're not going to do the drugs to us here, so why don't you mention what those were like?
Just, you know, when some people, they would be officially dead, you know, we would be resuscitating them, and maybe 20 minutes or more, and so some people, when they recovered, they would see me and say, yeah, I remember you were wearing this color, you know, dress. You looked like this. You said this. That person said this. And this is where I was in the room. You know, it was up or there, whatever. Mm-hmm. I saw this. And then the angels came, you know, and that was beautiful. And then they would go somewhere heavenly. And they didn't want to go back, but they said it wasn't their time. And so then they t- told me the angels still stayed with them after they were back in their body and woke up, and they could still hear and see everything, even though their eyes were closed. So they could tell you everything.
Yeah.
But it changed their world. It changed their worldview. It changed how they thought of life and what what they did from then on. And some people, because I didn't follow all of them up, they weren't all my patients.
Right.
Some of them said that I did follow up with, that afterward, things were different for them. Afterward, almost they were a little bit different reality. Let's put it that way.
Right. So even though they didn't get to leave at the time, it really helped them.
Yeah.
Dealing with their remaining physical life.
They weren't afraid of death anymore.
Right.
And they saw this life differently.
I think that's one real important lesson that could help all of us a lot, is realizing that in spite of what we're told, fear is completely optional and really doesn't have any purpose. You know, it doesn't work as well as love. Well, it works, but the results aren't as good.
Yeah, that's the secret, is to not be in fear. God did not give us the spirit of fear. But just about everybody in the world has that spirit. Most do, whether wise or not.
But that could be a clue, you know, for looking for solutions, because knowing about all this stuff, the only reason I can think of to understand what's happening is so that we can see how to fix it or play our part in fixing it. And if fear is universal, like you're saying, you know, that the dark agenda has gotten to that point, maybe that's a weak spot. If there's a way that we can help people to realize fear doesn't really have a hold on them unless they accept it.
Well, I tell people that all of what's happening right now is because of us. We asked for it. We created this to happen.
Yeah. And that's why they say that's blasphemy, is because it's true.
People right before COVID-19 happened, look at what happened around the world. We, at this moment, we've never had as many slaves ever in written history as we do now. We have the most slavery than ever.
Yeah.
We have the most genocides happening over and over. Child trafficking, human trafficking, the torture and killing of children, adrenochrome is real. Millions upon millions is happening. It's growing. The numbers are growing.
Right.
Depression, anxiety. When most people take you popping pills, they're not happy, even though they think they're happy. The disconnection we have with everything. Those phones, even myself included, got disconnected. We didn't talk to our family. We've looked down at these phones. No one's talking to each other. You're disconnected from our own self, our own spirit.
Even sit around tables looking at the phone and texting each other and stuff.
Everybody got so disconnected. This was not a happy world. Even if you think you're happy, you're lying to yourself. And the amount of evil that was going on is astronomical. If you look at it, it was there. It's always been there. So we were asking, we were the walking dead already. We have to have something shake us, to wake us up, to make us remember who we are, so that we can be better people, better be, you know, closest to our spirit, to God, because that's the purpose of everything. And we just think this is it. This is this little existence is it. It's not. It really is not. We are greater than this. You know, when I was little, I had some experiences. I had a near-death experience. I remember leaving my body and floating around. I knew it was happening. And I remember, I was like an angel or somebody by me. I'm not sure who, I couldn't see. But I remember thinking, I don't want to go back to my body. This is way too good. I love it.
Absolutely.
Really little. And so I remember seeing the fear and panic on my parents' faces, the neighbors, because a dog was attacking me and ripping me up and throwing me like a rag doll. And I remember I was given the choice. Well, you can stay or you can go back. And I remember the reason I decided to go back, because I couldn't do that to my family. And I thought that I needed to live this life anyway. So I remember, okay, I'll go back. So I went back. And but I remembered from that moment, always remembering that and knowing that we shouldn't fear death. We shouldn't fear that, because we are more than that. This is just one little part of how we live, one tiny part. We are bigger than this. And so
if you could bring that bigger part down into here, and let that bigger part live through your physical form, all this stuff would change, right?
Yeah, that means being connected with the divinity, God within you, because God's always with us. We just aren't connected. We choose not to be connected. It's our choice. We choose to be connected to the fear and the panic, which is more on a demonic level.
Yeah.
So you're not, you don't realize you're choosing it, but that's what you are. So once you choose that feeling, and you talk about fear, I was in fear when you talked about all those doctors dying. Yeah. Because I thought I was going to be one of them.
Yeah.
I left the country because of that. I honestly thought, I felt like I was being hunted down. It was the worst feeling in the world. It's traumatic. It was full of fear.
It was international. I mean, the U.S. Hit teams went to other countries to do that.
So I was in fear for a long time. And then one day, I just wasn't. I got angry. And this fearlessness took over. And that is so freeing, because then you realize all this stuff doesn't matter, this material stuff, all this. It's a different way of thinking and looking at the world. And this fearlessness, honestly, is huge. And it's just like this, whew, like, I don't fear anything. I know I won't leave here till the second God says it's time to go. And I don't fear it at all. So
exactly.
It's a totally different way of living and being. And you start to stand in truth, and you believe in speaking the truth no matter what. And that fearlessness is, it's unspeakable how amazing it is. There's no words to put in there. And how amazing is it to finally live your truth, to say what is right for not just yourself, but for humanity, and do the right thing. I mean, that makes you feel even better. You have a purpose. You have a reason, you know, when you're just living against this mask and you're saying what you're told to say, you're doing what you're told to do, even though you know it's wrong. It's a terrible feeling inside.
We are also, you know, I mean, there's enough to talk about for months here, but basically, you know, the core of what you're saying is you got connected to a source of feeling happy that doesn't go away, and you don't have to keep renewing it. And it's not like a drug that takes you really high and then you crash, you know.
Not all happiness either, though. It's happy, but it's, you see the world for what it is, and it's a sorrow too. So you have all these emotions, but it's in a different level of emotion. I don't know how to explain it, but
you still have this constant level of feeling good on the inside, I think, right?
Well, this, it's a contentment, it's peace, it's this love and knowing who you are and being close with God. And I try, you know, perfect. I try my best to be close with God and closer with God.
Right.
And we're not alone, you know, we're not alone. We can't see everything. You know, this is just one, you and I see each other and we see things, but this is just one way of existing. There's different other energies out there. There's other ways we exist. There's other things that exist.
Yeah. So just people becoming aware that, not on the belief level, but on the experience level, that they're not alone. That would be one of those huge impacting events, right?
I know we're not alone. And the patients that, you know, I've had with near-death experiences too would tell you that we're not alone.
Yeah. I don't think anybody ever has been.
Yeah. No, we've never been alone. But it's our choice with what do we connect with and where do we resonate? Are we resonating with fear and panic? Well, we're not going to be connecting with very loving and positive, good beings because they don't live that density.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's how I look at it. It's you've got to work internally and do it from your heart, not just in your mind. You have to believe it in your heart. And it's a personal journey that we go through. And this is part of why this is happening, is to shock us, to make us start really digging deep within and going on that personal journey, because we need to. We can't keep living in this fear and panic kind of world. It's a type of enslavement. It's not free.
It's like people that learn about health, a lot of times they have to get really sick first, right? And they have a reason, a motivation.
There
should be a motivation to do some good things in the world.
That's true. Yeah, definitely.
So we're looking externally at a collision course between the declared intent of the people doing the larger agenda. You know, right now, one of which steps they're announcing is going around and forcing people to take these vaccines, or whatever you call them, calling them vaccines. And on the other side, you see an awakening, at least to some extent, of people getting in touch with what you're just talking about. And it sounds like if you want the better outcome, it comes down to the idea, how do we share that? Well, you have to experience it before you can share it. So you have to experience it first and then become some kind of a conduit so that it will reach other people and turn the tide of what the future turns into on this planet.
Definitely there's a battle going on, and I hope people can see that, because to me, this is the ultimate of battles. It's not just on a physical level. It's battle for your mind and perhaps your soul as well.
Yeah.
It is good and evil, because you have to open your eyes and really look around at the symbolism that's being thrown around. They couldn't use more symbolism right now with 666 and everything that's being produced.
Yeah.
Tracing and patents are 666. Luciferase is used over and over again.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
Yeah, and the declaration of being atheist, that's what they say, but they mean atheist, that they don't believe in the God we believe in. So they believe that there soon will be a God. That's Ray Kurzweil's direct words. And also Craig Venter says that we can become gods. They can become gods through us.
To run everything. I think beyond the belief level, a lot of them are in touch with non-physical demonic beings. I mean,
well, this all started with World War II. Everything comes together. World War II really didn't end. We were fooled and lulled that it ended. It didn't end. World War II, you know, what happened there? What got the Nazis to have, you know, this knowledge and this technology? Well, it's very well known. They were into the occult, Satanism, black magic.
Right.
They conjured up demonic spirits, got information from them. This is public knowledge. It is not hearsay. The Vril Society, the Tool Society, and it was an interconnected web of people. They have to know that this group, the Nazi, I forgot what they called themselves before, their mailing address was here in the U.S. They had a lot of the American, we call it the industrialists, that were funding them.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Now, this was not just a country against a country. This was trying to be really put forth, you know, in the 1940s.
Right.
So they were using occult black magic, and they used, you know, they tried to seek out different historical items that were supposedly magical.
And Indiana Jones was correct.
So even if you don't believe in this, you have to understand that other people do, and they are using these things, and they believe in it. And it's still following through today, because all the scientists and all the knowledge continued, because we took half, Russia took the other half.
Yeah, although I wouldn't say we, because you didn't do it. I wasn't involved, I'm pretty sure.
I should say the United States took half and Russia took half.
Yeah.
And all of the studies went on without even one hesitation. A lot of these people involved just changed their names, assimilated into society, and they continued their work. So to me, it never ended. And I've been told by many Germans that their country, Germany, has not undeclared itself from World War II. Technically, it's still at war. They never did that technicality, which I think that's very interesting. I think that says a lot.
I do too. Very interesting. And if you read Hitler's writing, he says they need the whole world for space for Germany. You know, the other people are subhuman, and at least for certain races in Germany.
Yeah.
And it's the same spirit running the whole thing, because I know, you know, the Bush family was involved in the funding of that at the banking level. Prescott was, and a lot of other American, as you say, industrialists, and they were investing in the German war cause.
Exactly.
And IBM was helping a lot, and the American and English eugenicists were big heroes of Hitler's, not just Margaret Sanger, but other people too.
You know, people want this clean little box and say, okay, this is the enemy, here it is, and it's not that way. It's very complex, but we have to see it for what it is to understand really what's going on.
So the big issue was not turned around at that time. It was just changing form. And now we have another chance, right, on a global scale.
So now it will be finished.
One way or the other.
Well, we know who wins in the end.
In the end, yeah. It's just that we'd like that end to come sooner.
Yeah. So
less of the unpleasantness, right?
Of course. It's just the more that people don't wake up, the more painful it will be, right, to go through this.
Right. Right. And one of the main themes is blind faith in authority. Mm-hmm. You know, that you've been talking about in various forms.
Exactly.
Without that, it's very hard to control the world.
Well, I tell people is that the same scientists that have developed these injections called vaccines, they were just on Epstein's Island. You know, they were talking about making superhumans with Epstein's DNA. Okay. Yeah. If they go to the island, don't tell me they didn't know it was happening. It was everywhere there. Okay. Right. That's what they stand for. So you have to see the big picture of who's really pushing this. And, you know, that needs to, you know, rally you to speak up and say no and use your authority of your body and your mind.
Even a lot of the people that are in alternative media and they understand a lot of this stuff, they're missing parts of it, not just saying that the PCR test is 94% false positives when it really is totally irrelevant, has no legitimate positives or negatives, but also the idea that it's really a problem that this is an unapproved vaccine. That's just, to me, that's irrelevant because, in fact, they're planning to approve it from what we hear in September or so.
Everything is not going to any sort of standard that we ever had before, even though that wasn't very good. All the checks and balances are out the window. Everybody has to realize that we are under this FEMA running the show, which takes its orders really from the United Nations. That's really happening. And you have, to my understanding, almost a coup happened, but we weren't told the coup happened. That's pretty smart. Because our country is not running like it normally does. People see that. The reason is because the emergency state has given all the executive power to FEMA.
Right. And something that people aren't understanding is that in a free country, which is theoretically the idea that America was supposed to follow, it doesn't matter what emergency you declare. I mean, there could be 99% real death rate and they couldn't suspend your natural rights.
Amen. That's exactly what that means. And they forgot their rights. The people have forgotten their rights.
So that's being used since they saw that people don't understand that, what a free country actually, or freedom for everybody in the world really means, because they all have the same natural rights, whether the government thinks so or not. If they don't understand that, they say, oh, good, now we can just declare emergencies, federal, international, state, local, county emergencies, health emergencies, you know, in your town, and people will think, oh, well, then I have to give up my rights. But that's actually not true.
Yeah.
It's not true anywhere.
You're right about that. It's, you know, if you look at this, when people say they're forced, technically, at least in our country, no one's been forced yet. There's not been any bloodshed or gun points or anything like that. They just told you. And for the most part, very few people that I've heard actually did lose their job over this. You know, they had the threat and they just quit or something else. Or maybe I've had people did go and take their rights in the Nuremberg Code and their Bill of Rights, et cetera, to their workplace. And then they said, okay.
And they let them stay there without the shot, is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's
that's good to know.
Just a lot of intimidation and bullying. And so it's working because people are complying without doing really even a little peep, even a little discussion about it. This is a problem. I mean, look at our forefathers would be rolling over in their graves right now. We just give away every right we've fought and died over.
And the economic part is going right in parallel with it, because declaring the lockdowns means that people lose their ability to survive without welfare, without conditional welfare. And then, you know, if they don't realize what that means, they get put on universal basic income, which might theoretically be enough to maybe survive. But it has some caveats in it. As long as you obey all orders, you get your digital universal basic income.
People need to understand, I tell them this, I said, so you think that you're okay with having your little allotment of money and your little digital cell, and that's okay. You've come to terms with that and you accept it. I have to stress this, that kind of life is not what you can expect, because the name of this game is fear and panic. If right. you allow these people pushing the agenda to get that far, they will then push it again and again and again. The idea is to always keep you in fear and panic. It will be the worst kind of existence if you accept it now, because that is not where it will end whatsoever. And this is why now you stand up and you defend the rights that we should never have given up in the first place.
Okay, so practically speaking, what does that mean people do differently than they're already doing?
So people need to speak up. Most people aren't speaking up. So if you're afraid, first, you should always, there's always strength in numbers, mm-hmm. and go around like-minded people. So I tell people once a week minimum, you should be meeting with neighbors, people close by to you that are like-minded. You start just making connections, because that'll be very important in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You start educating each other, whether it's about these injections, it's about politics, it's about your common law rights, because we have common law rights. People don't understand we've been under British Crown rule. And there's a way that there's also common law, and you can follow that, and that is very successful. You don't put your children in these schools that are indoctrinating them. Why would you do that to your child? You start doing homeschooling, do a community school where everybody chips in a little bit. That will be even
exactly.
a better school.
Exactly.
So it's not going to be a burden on anyone. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money, very little. Everybody chips in. They learn trade skills. They learn, you know, real science. They learn cursive. So they can read the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
If you keep saying these things, but you keep sending your child, what are you doing to your child? They're the future.
Yeah.
Then you also say you're going to defend one another, like we should have always done. If somebody goes to your door saying, you know, about a vaccine or trying to take your family member away, there's a group of people that are called, and they show up right away that are close by you, and you stand together. You know, that's very powerful.
Yeah.
So you're learning about your rights. You're forming a community of like-minded people. You're taking a stand. You're doing something about the education. You start learning how to barter with each other. You know, form a private membership association like Bank of America has always done, where that gives you ability to still run a business, but you don't fall under the other laws and regulations of the British Crown. You're more of a free and independent company and do that. So we need to start making our own way of our own medical system. Everything has to start, but you have to start making the change at this moment. If you keep waiting, you know, then you'll wait until it's too late.
Do you ever think about putting that into a format of some kind of a little course for communities that wanted to do this? So, 'cause I'm thinking that you want to tell people about, you know, the steps to take, and you'd like to do it like soon, like right away. Yeah. But you're just one person, although you've got some really good other people working with you. What about the idea of putting these things into some kind of a curriculum that people could get and start doing right away, because it's new ideas to most people? It's just a thought, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea of putting, some people have just one subject or this, but yes, we should probably have something where you have
parallel civilization creation or something like that.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. And how to just have some basic items on hand, because there will be some coercion, manipulation, and like the cyber threat, for instance.
Uh-huh.
The people pushing the agenda will not let us lose our connection with the digital world very long. They can't. They're so frightened by that, because their way of brainwashing us is through technology, through the television. If we lost power or we lost internet connection for 2 weeks even,
mm-hmm.
it'd be such trouble, because it's about 2 weeks that I've noticed that the hypnosis wears off on people, and people start to wake up to what's going on.
You could have independent thought might even happen.
I'm telling you, I know they know that they can't let that go on. That's just a fear tactic. They're just telling us that just to put us in fear.
When you talked about what happens when you send your kids to school, what about when you send them to your television?
Yeah.
Or exactly. to their iPad or whatever.
Exactly. People, mm-hmm. But you know, I've seen people, they want to make a change, but yet they don't want to take the iPad away from their kid. They don't want to spend more time and doing a homeschool or community school. And you know, it just comes down to, what do you stand for? What does it mean to be human? What do you think life is? Because yeah. That's a question that you have to answer for yourself. I can't, or you can't answer that for anybody. But right. Once you decide what you want and act on it. Because these people in charge, they have more than just what is obvious to us for plans, because they plan on taking what they're doing right now and they plan on continuing it till the year 2030, where all of us are going to be connected to the digital world. We literally, our physical bodies will be connected, and all of our thoughts and memories and dreams are uploaded. And the idea is that they will then make us immortal through downloading all our thoughts, dreams, emotions, whatever, into a new body, whether it's a clone or robot or digital avatar.
But they know that's a fraud, though.
They think that's immortality.
You know, it might be a picture of who you used to be, but there's no consciousness there.
I pray that there would be no consciousness. That would be, to me, a living hell. It would be like the movie Westworld with that series.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It would be on par with that, where it would be horrific. So I pray that they don't have a way of putting, in these literature, they claim they have a way of putting consciousness.
I know.
They're just saying.
I think they're mistaken with that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not the creator of consciousness, fortunately. They're just a twister of consciousness.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole idea of freedom that, in theory, it wasn't ever lived up to fully, but what America was supposed to be, was with the understanding that freedom takes responsibility and work, and it's not as easy as being in prison.
Everybody has responsibility. That's where I don't know that it's not my job. Yeah, it's your job. It's every single person's responsibility.
Right. And we've been taught for a long time that work is horrible and that you should avoid that at all costs and make other people do it and have a life where you can just sit around and not really do anything.
Yeah, people aren't happy when they do that. Then it's not gratifying. It's not satisfying. And working with your hands is amazing, right? It's we've been taught all the wrong things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, since I'm mindful of your schedule and not wanting to keep you too long, is there a way that people can stay as closely in touch as possible with what you're doing and projects and ideas and different things like that, best websites, that sort of thing?
So I'm still on Twitter for the moment, at Dr. Mate, Facebook, Carrie Mate, and then at serendipitygroup.org. I have a website. It's a backup website for information, and Telegram, also a channel.
Okay.
So, and then there's a great conference at the end of August called Bards Fest, B-A-R-D-S Fest. And Scott Kesterson is putting that on. It's right outside St. Louis, Missouri, and it'll be over 4 days. And this is different because we believe in the power of prayer and worship and music, good music. Yeah. So people, it's all uplifting, and we'll blow 300 shofars at the same time. And people around the world are involved. So we expect thousands of people to show up. And so this is a positive thing. Trying to get like a revival started, people to, you know, look and see how powerful our spirit is, and to find like-minded people. I think it's going to be very powerful. I'm excited about that.
When is it exactly?
The last weekend of August. So if you look for Bards Fest, it's Bards FM is the channel, and then Bards Fest, I think YouTube, they have more information on that.
Okay. Bards FM.
Bards FM, and it's called Bards Fest that's being put on. So most of the doctors I'm working with will be there. And just, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, music that's uplifting, positive, but more 432 hertz.
It sounds like a spiritual Woodstock or something like that.
Yeah.
Could be incredible. Okay. Sounds pretty neat. Well, hold on. We'll say goodbye in the break here, and hopefully we'll do some more after a while. So. All right, there goes Dr. Carrie Mate, and one of the five doctors. One of the, I didn't ask her specifically, but I think you could call her one of the frontline doctors. The doctors that are being honest and talking about not only what's really happening with the fake pandemic, but countermeasures, positive things to do, how to take care of yourself. And, you know, I should have asked her, I realized at the end, what about for the potentially large number of people that, what is it now, 170 million or something in the U.S. alone, that apparently were fooled into taking the shot voluntarily, and many of whom may realize later that, oh, that was not a good thing to do, and they'll want to be doing things to counteract the negative effects that they learn that the shot involves. And so we'll try to have her back on to talk about that in the near future. But in the meantime, she did leave some contact points if you want to stay up with her work and what she's doing, and an event that she mentioned called Bard's Fest, which sounds really good. 4 days in late August. I think it's the 26th to the 29th, which is 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know a specific site for that, but you can look at serendipitygroup.org. And she's on Twitter, she said, at the moment, which is an understandable statement. On Twitter at DRMADEJ. And let me see what my notes say here. Familyarena.com is a place for tickets to that event, but you might want to try to find out more specifics. She said a lot of great people besides her are going to be there, some of the main doctors that have been doing such great work, but there's got to be a place to find details on that. And we can't find the website for that yet, but we'll keep looking. And then she's on Facebook as well at Dr. Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, Made, M-A-D-E-J. So you can follow her on all those different places. And I, you know, we have one more, I guess, one more of the five doctors to get on, which is Christiane Northrup. And I just want to use the platform, as long as we're still here, to support all of the honest, brave people spreading what I like to call the pandemic of consciousness. I think that's the antidote, you know, to all of the stuff that's going on that could even affect the bad guys. Maybe that's why they're so afraid of it. You have to defend yourself as needed, of course, but the more powerful tool is your own consciousness. And still, most of the people in the world don't know what the word consciousness even means. You know, they think, well, if you get knocked out in a fight, you're unconscious, and then after that, you're conscious. But I'm talking about a different level of consciousness that sends out a frequency from every living being, especially humans, and can affect other people on a subliminal basis. And it's really powerful. And it's connected with the forgotten faculties of imagination and what they call manifesting, which we're all doing all the time. We're all masters at that. It's just we're unconscious masters of it, mostly manifesting what we go around worrying about all the time and then wondering, see, I was right. Why did this terrible thing happen? And then you keep worrying and some other terrible thing happens. And that doesn't have to be negative. It can be used the other way too. And the bad guys are really intent on making sure we don't figure that out. So as we said in the talk, we should take that as guidance. They're really good guides, the power structure and the malevolent beings in charge. You just have to usually completely reverse what they say and then make sure it's right and then do that. They give wonderful advice. So our job, you know, rather than just going along as humans are trained to do with whatever the so-called authorities say, be brave, realize that you have a source of internal guidance inside you because of where you came from. And a spoiler alert and hint, important safety tip, it wasn't from government. We weren't created by the United Nations or Ace Hardware, nothing against Ace Hardware. I use them all the time, but we came from a different source. And if we remember that connection, not just in what we tell people we believe, but experience of it every day, then as they say, that could lead to the game being over in a really good way. So there's still time to do that, but unknown amount. So it'd be good to use the time that we've got right now and look where your attention is. Look how good care or bad care you're taking of your physical body. Look at your attitude toward yourself. If you're hating yourself and walking around in a cloud of guilt and shame and thinking, I made all these mistakes, you're not going to be able to give really clear, uplifting energy to anybody else either. So you're going to have to stop hating yourself at some point. And you believe in being forgiven, you need to do it too, completely, to the point where you don't even remember that there's anything to forgive, and it's a whole different frequency. And people like Carrie and all the other great doctors that we've had on lately, and people who aren't doctors that are just remembering that there's a positive, forgotten, normal way of life that we all used to have. And there's no reason it can't come back. I was going to say there's no law against it coming back, but even it doesn't matter if there is a law against it coming back, it's the normal reality, and we own it, and we could get it back whenever we feel like it. And as Dr. Matte said and agreed with, fear is entirely optional. Unless you want to walk around in fear, you really don't have to. And it's a projection of each one of our own minds. And if we have a talk with our own mind and say, you know, maybe we don't need to project fear anymore. It's really impressive, and it's turned me into a cowering, terrified, you know, microscopic being, but maybe we don't need to do that anymore. And relax. If you're totally relaxed, you can't be afraid. And there's good reason to be relaxed and connected to what's real. So hopefully we'll have Dr. Matte back soon. A lot of other inspiring people who are coming right up, by the way. And what else do I want to say? Told you how to follow Carrie about her events. It's not disrespectful if I don't use the word doctor on all these people, like the ones we've had on recently. I feel like they're all family members, and helping each other is this brilliant idea that we could start using right away. Even in just attitude, it would make a huge difference. You can stay in touch with us at lostartsradio.com. And if we get kicked off any platforms, I have no idea why that would ever happen. But if we do, if you go to lostartsradio.com, you can stay in touch with where we are on the air and support us if you have the means to do that. It's deeply appreciated. You probably figured out by now we're not completely into commercials all the time. I don't think we've done any for, I can't even remember, not for a long time. Because I'm just attached to the idea of recommending things to you because I think they're good. And I think that's like, I like doing that. And if I'm being paid to do it, I'm not saying that won't happen because we really need the money. But it has to not corrupt the spirit of, like, you know, we're doing this show for specific reasons because we want to see a better outcome in the world. And we know where it's going as far as the plans of the people in charge right now. And the fake pandemic is only one of their scams, and they're doing a lot of them. You know, poisoning the food and water and air and little things like that, and poisoning your mind with television and what comes through a lot of the online computer stuff. You have to be use discretion with that. So what we're trying to do is let you realize you've got a source inside yourself that's stronger than all the dark stuff combined. And that's what Dr. Matte was talking about today. So I encourage you to appreciate yourself, upgrade yourself, get in touch with what you need to change, whether it's how you're treating other people and your family, or families are taken for granted a lot. Don't do that. And friends and people at work and people you never met before. You know, it's a habit you get in. I think the person that was the most amazing that I met that gave me the feeling that, wow, he's been waiting to meet me for his whole life, and I was nobody and he didn't know me anyway. His name was Chuck Norris, amazing person. And we can all do the same thing if you want to. You know, you want to be able to be nice to other people, be nice to yourself, and vice versa. They go together. So as I was going to say, if you want to support us, because we're not doing a lot of commercial work, there's donate buttons at lostartsradio.com. and lostartsresearchinstitute.org and subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. If you have the means, that's deeply appreciated. It helps us keep going and hopefully fund the projects that are waiting that we want to do. So you know about the Sunday show because this is one of them. We have a Saturday show called Lost Arts Radio Live, and it's followed by a private interactive meeting where we're there live and we communicate in the meeting. It's a non-censored environment, share information on natural health protocols, not medical advice. We're not allowed to do that, nor would I want to. I'm not attracted to any kind of drugs at all and don't use anything like that. But real health information, consciousness information that is extremely powerful stuff to help change your life and change your world. That's at planetaryhealingclub.com if you get interested in that. And that's every week as well. And then you can always stay in touch with us. There's contact forms on the websites, and let us know what you're thinking and guest ideas, whatever you'd like to see us get into. If you're in Planetary Healing Club, feel free to recommend subjects for the next interactive club meeting, and we can basically go into anything you want. It's all related to some level of your own health and what you can do to help the world. So I think that's about it. Thanks for being with us. I hope you support all these brave doctors and all kinds of other people that are telling the truth about things they get punished for, and they just do it anyway. And they need our help as much as possible. Share the links and make your best contribution. You're the most powerful person in your own movie. Don't underestimate what you can do. You know, as long as you don't believe it's impossible, there's nothing stopping you. And we appreciate you a lot. We'll see you here next time.